Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. This is, of course, your Red Pill Reports for the 17th of December. It is Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. I hope you guys are out there having a pretty decent week. Mine's going pretty well, I have to admit, on our side over here. We have lots and lots to cover today and a very short amount of time to do it. I want to give you guys a heads up. Today's going to be a big show, guys. We're going to have Greg Morse on at the bottom of the first hour. So we're only going to do a half an hour of news today, and that's not because there's a shortage of news. There's actually just a cornucopia of news going on the planet today. It's absolutely astounding, some of the things that are going on overseas, some of the things that are happening here in the country. So we'll jump right into that in just a second here. But I do want to thank all of you again for tuning in to the program. I want to also recommend people go to truthfrequencyradio.com. And if you go to that live link there, there is a chat room that is in beta form right now, but it does give you the ability to communicate directly with any of the hosts that are live on Truth Frequency at the time that you are in that room. And so today, I will try and get myself in there here in a few minutes. And then if you guys have questions for either Greg Morse or Scott Bennett will be joining us at the 11 o'clock hour. For those of you guys out there who have been following this mortgage crisis, you might be saying, why are we spending so much time talking about MERS and talking about the mortgage scandal? Well, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. What are we doing here at Red Pill? What's the goal of this whole thing? Why did we call it Red Pill? Well, because obviously there's a reference to the movie The Matrix. And if you haven't seen The Matrix, I have to recommend that you guys stop what you're doing. Maybe this weekend, get that movie and rent it and watch it. And it's not that I'm recommending paying attention to Keanu Reeves. The benefit of watching The Matrix is, of course, Keanu Reeves' main gift as an actor is that of playing confused, which is pretty much all he has to do in The Matrix. So you can just kind of dismiss his whole, appearance and acting in that movie. But the bottom line is that it metaphorically, completely, is the most on-point demonstration of the control mechanisms that are going on all around us all the time. So we have all kinds of layers to this matrix that we need to discuss. We talk about, your ability to be self-sustaining, with Doreen Hannes. We talk about, the agenda against water with Deborah Tavares. We'll have Elsie Vincent on again tomorrow to talk about the Rockefellers changing music, so that they can flood the entire planet with frequencies that promote disease and disorientation and unrest and things like that. So again, the entire scope of what we're trying to do here is to elucidate all of the layers of the matrix so you guys can, first of all, wake up to the fact that we are in a matrix and that we are completely surrounded on all sides. Why is this mortgage crisis such a big deal? And why is the work of Greg Morse and Scott Bennett so important? Well, it's because this is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. This is a direct, actionable item. This is a complete, full-on, absolute winning. This is winning. This is what winning looks like. This is when you guys get information together like Scott and Greg have gotten together. This is a slam-dunk legal case. We just have to get it in front of Congress. We have to get it in front of people who can do something about it. So all of the people that are out there listening in alternative radio land that want to complain about the idea that there are so many things against us and we can't do anything about it. Boom! Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is an actionable item. This is something that we can do. We can sign the petition. We can all go to Washington. We can bring, 100,000 of us down there. pallets full of legal documents, and we can pound these people into the ground and fix this country. This is it. This is your opportunity right here. So we're going to have Greg on. We're going to go over the whole thing again with Greg, bring us all back up to speed, and then we'll transition over to Scott Bennett. Now, Scott Bennett, for those of you guys who don't know, he is a U.S. Army Special Operations Officer. He's part of the 11th Psychological Operations Battalion. The gentleman, his main job in the military, and he was given a commission. That's not something that just happens. They don't just create a position for you in the military and make you an officer. But he came from a background of psychology and of public relations and things like that, and they wanted his opinion on essentially intelligence in terms of counterterrorism. So he was essentially a counterterrorism analyst, and also you could call him a forensic accountant. And so what happened? He discovered a whole bunch of stuff, took it to his bosses like he was supposed to, and ended up going to jail because of it. And it was because of that jail term that he ended up meeting up with Brad Birkenfeld. And then the story just gets crazier and crazier from there. It's like a Tom Clancy novel, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the deal, is that we already know what the end of the story is going to look like. And we already have the answer figured out. So again, get your friends, get your family, get everybody involved with this show today, because this is going to be some pretty important information. And all of the information, again, is at redpillreports.com. If you go to the top section there, there's a link that says Mortgage Crisis. That is the totality of all of the articles that have been written about this so far by the staff here at Red Pill. And there is also in the sidebar a link to Save Your Home. And it will essentially show you, it's got all the documentation that you're going to need to corroborate with the articles in the other section. So all of the information that you need right now to understand fundamentally what has happened to the value in your home and how that money was then taken and leveraged and then used against us, if not just to foment war, but possibly to actually murder U.S. Troops and civilians around the world. So we're talking about just literally one of the largest stories that's going to ever break on the internet. And we're going to have both sides of the coin on today. So I'm really excited to be talking to Scott Bennett. Obviously, it's always an honor to get to speak with Greg Morse. So I do really recommend you guys stay tuned for that today. I'm going to digress because, as I said, we've only got about 20 minutes to get through the news today, and there is tons of things going on. So let's just jump right into it right now. There's a report coming out of The Guardian, which is a UK newspaper, and this really startled me. But essentially what The Guardian is now reporting, and this has to do with the 43 missing students in Mexico, but The Guardian is now reporting that Mexican federal authorities had real-time information about the attack on the students. Real-time information. They were in the loop the second those kids went missing, and they did nothing about it. So we have absolute leaked government documents. The new allegations are obviously... this is a new angle on this whole story, because the people who were missing these students, you know, the parents and the families, they were very demanding of the government that they knew that the government was involved, and that B, the government's responsibility was to bring these kids back alive. What we're seeing now is that the government had an opportunity to do exactly that, and they did not do it. So here we are in another situation where the government is working against people who are, you know, essentially just dissidents. They're people who do not agree with what the government is doing. And so what did they do? They had them kidnapped by police officers who were crooked and working with drug cartels. And then they gave them over to the drug cartels. The drug cartels massacred them and burnt them in a landfill. That's what happened. And the government knew about it all the time, the whole time. So here's the deal. Obviously, the people in Mexico are a little bit fed up with the federal government down there, and I cannot imagine not being fed up at this point. I mean, we are now looking at state-sponsored murder of student teachers. This is not, you know, these aren't criminals. There's no conjecture involved with this. This is just absolute criminal activity, and it ended up leading to the death of innocent people. So what's going to happen in Mexico now? You know, I mean, at this point, I don't want to be the guy on the radio here inciting a riot, but at this point, these people that are in charge need to be removed from power and stripped down and recycled. That's what I think. I think that it's time for the president of Mexico to go. It's time for every crooked politician down there to be out of power. We need to root out the collusion with these drug cartels. Again, you know, legalizing drugs in the United States legalizing drugs across the continent is going to be the solution to defunding these Mexican cartels, but that's a different subject for a different day. But there you go. You know, Mexican authorities absolutely in the loop while this massacre of students was going on. I cannot imagine anything other than a revolution coming out of this, and I hope that the people in Mexico are brave enough to do exactly that. Moving on to India right now. India just this week declared a ban on the Islamic State. And this is days after having detained an engineer for running a popular Twitter account extolling the military group's military campaign. India has the world's third largest population of Muslims, but they have largely shunned Islamist causes. Police say only four Indians are known to have joined the Islamic State, and one has since returned and is already in custody. But until now, India had held off on a ban against the Islamic State because of the group's lack of activity in the country and worries over the state of 39 Indian construction workers who have been missing in Iraq since earlier this year, and they are believed to be held by ISIS. Officials also suggested it would be harder to track sympathizers if the group was banned, driving them obviously towards more covert activity. But the Home Minister, Singh, told Parliament the government aim to limit the activities of the Middle Eastern group, which has already obviously carved out large swathes of territory in Iraq and Syria. So now, what do we think? Do you think India will be under the ire of ISIS now? We haven't seen a lot of activity from ISIS in India, but given the mainline story that the siege in Sydney was a result of the crackdown on ISIS in Australia, one does have to wonder that if the mainstream media in India is announcing a pretty stringent crackdown on ISIS, if they will avert some of their attention or divert some of their attention to India. Who knows? We will have to keep an eye on that as well. Major Al-Qaeda, or I'm sorry, Taliban gun battle or massacre, I guess would be the correct way to describe this, happening in Pakistan yesterday. Taliban gunmen stormed into a military-run school in Peshawar on Tuesday and massacred 141 people, nearly all of which were children, an act of barbarism that left Pakistanis in shock as they mourned the loss of relatives and friends. The attack was on the Army Public School in the northwestern city near the Afghan border. It was also one of the worst incidents of extreme violence in Pakistan since 2007, where a suicide bombing in the port city of Karachi killed about 150 people. Peshawar has been the target of frequent militant attacks lately, and in September of 2013, a twin suicide bomb blast in a church killed 85 people. So Taliban attacking a school run by the army, just absolutely tragic in Pakistan, what's going on there. Brazil right now is on the verge of some pretty violent regional wars over water rights, which is, of course, a trend that we are starting to see globally. And persistent drought conditions that won't relent, according to new reports, have sparked something of a water war in Brazil. This is a report coming from Natural News right now. It's unusual because Brazil, oddly enough, has more water resources than any other country in the world. The two largest cities in the South American powerhouse, Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo, are currently right now fighting over water rights because the only water source that feeds both of them sits right in between them, and we're talking about the Jaguari Reservoir. It supplies its citizens in Rio de Janeiro, but now São Paulo is trying to get more in on the action. They are apparently running out of water in São Paulo because of poor planning and mismanagement, but the Jaguari Reservoir is currently at its lowest level, which is why Rio wants to protect it. And officials from the two cities recently met in Brasilia for a mediation session to try and solve this crisis. So again, the war over water is going to be happening over and over and closer to home. So we will probably be speaking with Deborah Tavares again next time, probably coming up in the next month or so, about primary water and about this whole agenda that is obfuscating the truth about water right now. Moving on to some national news right now, there is a new report as Cuba has now freed American Alan Gross after 5 years of detention on spy charges. Mr. Gross, after 5 years, according to the Associated Press, has been released. He was departed Cuba on a U.S. government plane, and he was released on humanitarian grounds by the Cuban government at the request of the United States. He was arrested back in 2009 while setting up an illegal internet access as a subcontractor for the U.S. Agency for International Development, and he was later charged with espionage. I wonder if this has anything to do with the entire fake Twitter thing that we were trying to do down there about that same time. I wonder if he was responsible for the fake Twitter. They essentially, down in Cuba, for those of you guys who don't know, they put an entire new server bank in and called it Twitter, and it was a fake Twitter account, and then they used it to foment unrest and to gather, you know, subversive characters and things like that. It's just kind of another wonderful thing that our country decides to do to other places, and possibly Mr. Gross was caught in that debacle, and that's probably why he was stuck in Cuba for 5 years, but now he is back, so good time. Great oldies. All right, Texas state bill. There's a new Texas state bill. Who knows if it's going to pass, but I'll tell you what, I have to get behind this thing and support it to its end, because this is a big one. Texas lawmaker Dan Flynn has introduced legislation now that would invalidate within the sovereign borders of the state every act of the federal government that exceeds its constitutionally derived authority. Wow. Talk about somebody getting it right on the head. We're talking about House Bill 98, and it gives, it takes away from the federal government the power to take any legislative, executive, or judicial action that violates the Constitution, specifically including those actions that unconstitutionally undermine, diminish, or disregard the balance of powers between the states and the federal government established by the Constitution. Flynn actually went on to cite chapter and verse of the Constitution and the principles of federalism in defense of his position that the state of Texas retains its power to refuse to carry out federal mandates which are not specifically authorized in the constitutional enumeration of federal powers. Beyond his understanding of core concepts of federalism, Flynn is also to be commended for his bold warning he included in this legislation. And I love this. He said, "This act serves as notice from this state to the federal government to cease and desist any and all unconstitutional activities that are outside the scope of the power delegated to it by the United States Constitution, including those activities, again, that unconstitutionally undermine, diminish, or disregard the balance of powers between the state and federal government established by the Constitution. The state and its people retain their sovereign power to regulate the affairs of the state, subject only to the limitations prescribed by the United States Constitution." Really, nothing more needs to be said. Flynn's bill, officially titled the Texas Balance of Powers Act, is a full-throated defiance of federal tyranny and attempts to subjugate the states into nothing more than administrative subunits of the plutocracy on the Potomac. And I love it. Please, if you're in Texas, support this lawmaker and support this House bill, because that is a huge, huge deal. Huge, huge, huge deal. Say that again. Half of Americans, half of you people out there, probably not half of the people listening to this radio show, but half of the general population of America believes that the CIA's harsh interrogation methods were justified. Yeah, that's it. Those are the people that you live with. Probably a lot of the people that you're working with right around you right now. Half of these people believe that the CIA was justified in its harsh interrogation methods of war on terror detainees. A poll found Monday, days after a damning U.S. report revealed harrowing details of torture. The U.S. Senate report released last week said that the CIA's interrogation of al-Qaeda suspects include beatings, some other things I'm not going to say on the radio, sleep deprivation, the standing on broken bones. I mean, just about as awful as you could possibly get. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pictures. I'm totally getting away from this story right now, but I saw an article yesterday about all the pictures that are subject to be released that the Obama administration is fighting hand and tooth to keep out of the public domain. You think the stuff at Abu Ghraib that came out before was bad? These pictures literally show rape. Rape. I mean, you can't, there's no other word that I can use to describe what these pictures show, allegedly. So, wow. Anyway, getting back to this, half of the people in the country think that that was a great thing and think that we should keep going and I just, I'm getting ready to move. I swear. Sandy Hook families banding together finally for a lawsuit, ladies and gentlemen. They are banding together, the victims of the Sandy Hook families, after that tragic shooting at Sandy Hook. They are banding together for a lawsuit. Obviously, they're, you know, big question about this whole Sandy Hook thing is that why have there been no lawsuits about, you know, what would you call it? You would call it, against the state or against the school. Negligence, right? Negligence. So we've been waiting for this moment where the Sandy Hook families are getting ready to sue, except they're not suing the state and they're not suing the school, which obviously negligence would be a pretty easy case to win. It's the first time in the history of the world that there hasn't been a lawsuit, especially the most litigious country in the world being the United States. Obviously, not seeing a lawsuit as a result of this is pretty unusual. So, lawsuit. Who are they suing? You might be wondering. Well, they're going to sue Bushmaster, right? Bushmaster, of course, is the maker of the firearm that was allegedly used by a 112-pound kid with autism as he somehow miraculously achieved a 96.8% kill ratio, which, on a side note, I guess we should probably restructure the entire military because there are guys who work in special services, and we're talking about Army Green Berets that can't achieve kill ratios like that, guys. So clearly, our plan with the media, with the military is way off base. We need to have a bunch of 112-pound autistic kids with semi-automatic rifles. I'll tell you what, put a semi-automatic rifle in the hand of a 112 kid that's never shot one before, and you tell me how many shots he's going to get off before he's on his butt, period. Anyway, so the family's getting ready to sue Bushmaster because obviously the AR-15 is a fearsome combat weapon for troops in Vietnam and blah, blah, blah. It's the scariest thing in the world. So it's clearly Bushmaster's fault that everything that happened at Sandy Hook happened. So that's where the lawsuit is going from the families of Sandy Hook. Unbelievable. And I'll give you a heads up, too. Wolfgang Halbig will be on the show next week. I want to say next Friday. Wolfgang Halbig has been leading the investigation against Sandy Hook pretty much since it happened. And a lot of people have really kind of tried to trash his name, and I have stood by this man because he has got integrity, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you, I'm really looking forward to finding out what the latest is on the Sandy Hook debacle from Wolfgang next week. So, again, doing all of the things that we can do to keep you guys informed. I'm going to jump over to the markets right now just to let you guys know what's going on. Obviously, huge developments in Russia yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's hard to even believe. Some people in Russia are saying the Russian economy is effectively dead. So we'll talk about that in just a second. The Dow currently is up 90 points on the day right now. Oil continuing its slide below $56. We are at $55.81 right now for a barrel of oil. And gold has dipped quite a bit. We are at 1192, so back below the 1200 mark for gold right now, and $15.68. We'll get you an ounce of silver currently right now. So, and as a result of that news, let's see. Gas for less than $2 can be found in 13 states across the country right now. And 2 weeks ago, there was only one gas station in the country selling gas that cheap. But now 10 other states on top of Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Ohio all have gas below $2 a gallon. And we're looking at, I believe, a national average still in the $2.55 range right now because there's obviously some eastern states that still have pretty high gas. But Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, New Mexico, Texas, and Virginia all have gas for less than $2. So happy days are here again. Wonder why food prices haven't come down, because that's kind of what I'm waiting for. I know all you guys are waiting for that out there as well. Let's see here. The Russian bank manager quoting yesterday, "This is the end of the banking system." We talked about this yesterday. They raised their interest rates up to 17% overnight, Monday going into Tuesday, and in a rather emotional response from a senior manager of Vedomosti, which is one of Russia's largest banks, said essentially this is the end of the banking system. The banker added that the economy cannot function at these rates, and for the real sector, which is the non-finance, non-stock exchange sector, this is death, according to them. And we'll have to keep an eye on this a lot as we move forward. We're going to have Andrew Gauss on the show on Friday, But essentially, again, you know, on Tuesday, they bumped their interest rates from 10.5% up to 17%. They were trying to slow the devaluation of the ruble against the dollar. And to put it mildly, it did not work. The Russian currency fell to new lows, reaching 80 rubles to the dollar, which is about a 100% decrease just in the last week, and about 100 rubles to the euro on Tuesday. It did open up a little higher initially, but then it did not continue to go down that road. So that is what is going on there. Wow, there's just so much more news that I'm not going to be able to get to. If you guys go to redpillreports.com and check out the show section, you will see all kinds of tech news. There's some great health stuff going on today. Moving on to some tech stuff here real quick. Sony hackers are threatening a 9/11 style attack on any movie theaters that screen The Interview, which is crazy. I thought this the other day when this first happened, this Sony hack, I really thought, and I didn't say it, I should have said it because I would have been on the record saying it, but I thought this was going to be the death of Sony, and I think that's what we're going to see here. I think the more and more disclosure that comes out, think about the lawsuits that are going to come out of this, guys. You know, if not only the Sony employees that lost their private information, of course, they're going to sue Sony because Sony's job was to protect their information. But what about the guys and the gals who are actors and actresses, right, that have their salary requests and things on file at Sony, which have now been released? You know, that's going to cause detriment to them going into the future with new contracts and things like that. I think we will witness the downfall of Sony. I think this particular hack is going to absolutely destroy them. I think that the lawsuits will be forthcoming about this information released, and I think that's what we're going to see here. Let's move on to some other news here. They're launching a drone hunting blimp over Washington, D.C. Thank you, DARPA, for that. Who knows what other capabilities it will have. Let's see here. There was a man who was treated his own stage 3 COPD with cannabis oil. He's off all of his meds, and he's back at work full time. There's also a really interesting story from Green Med Info about 44 reasons that cell phones actually do cause cancer. Would highly recommend checking that out. And a little bit of a victory coming out of a major poultry industry giant in Germany as they go back to non-GMO feed. Again, please go to redpillreports.com. Check out all the news up there. They do such a great job. Rob does such a great job keeping the show updated. Please stick with us through this break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Greg Morse about the mortgage crisis that is still going on. And there's actually some related stories in the news today, so we'll bounce those off of him. Please keep it right here.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Having everything go your way.
Chris and Cherie Chio, Saturdays and Sundays, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. As we talked about in the last half an hour, there's obviously a lot of things going on in the world right now, and it just seems like the more you start paying attention, the more things are just getting crazier and crazier out there. But one of the things that we want to focus on here at Red Pill Reports is being able to figure out a direction. You know, not only are we here to identify the adversaries, because we're all advocates for one another, but you can't successfully be an advocate for one another without understanding first who the adversaries are. So, you know, a lot of the discussions that we have here on Red Pill Reports are exactly in that vein, trying to outline for us exactly where the threats are coming from so that we can then take action. So that is the vein, again, in which we are operating here today, specifically at redpillreports.com, and why we wanted to bring Greg Morse back onto the program. Greg has become one of my confidants, one of my best friends outside of this radio industry. He's probably one of the men out in the world that I trust more than anyone. I know for a fact that if I were to go into a battle with Greg Morse, and I'm talking about a physical battle on a field someplace, that I wouldn't have to pay attention to what he was doing, and I wouldn't have to be concerned about him having my back, because that's the kind of guy this man is. And I'll tell you, going into a battle like we're getting ready to face in this country, these are the kind of people you want to be surrounded by. So I am humbled by my friendship that has blossomed with Greg Morse, and I'm humbled by our ability here at Red Pill Reports to be able to bring this information to all of you guys out there, because this is important, and this affects every single person on the planet. Of course, we're talking about this mortgage crisis, and we're talking about Greg's research. We're going to have Scott Bennett join us at the 11 o'clock hour to kind of bring us through the other half of the research as we have realized now that the mortgage crisis was an orchestrated event, that there were parties working in collusion against all of us as Americans and against all of our wishes to be homeowners. They essentially broke the chain of title. They eliminate your ability to prove that you own your home, first of all. And then they took that ability and they changed it into security instruments, essentially. They took them, they leveraged them, they used the proceeds from that leveraged derivatives that they created with our mortgages, and then they funneled that into accounts overseas, and then they used that money to fund small operations you might have heard of, like Al-Qaeda or ISIS, and they essentially caused death and harm and destruction, not only to American civilians, but American service people who are overseas trying to protect us from the exact thing that we are fighting on our own soil right now. You cannot get more collusion, or you couldn't really overstate the seriousness of this issue. So again, I'm very excited to be bringing Greg Morse back onto the show. I apologize, Greg, for running on a little tirade right there, but I just really want to impress upon people how important this issue actually is, and also the fact that this one issue is something that we can remedy. We can do something about it. We have an option. Greg Morse, thank you so much for joining us again on Red Pill Reports today.
Good morning, JD. It's my pleasure.
Well, sir, because the listenership is new and because we are still growing as a network, well, first let me just say, everything that we have written about this story is available on redpillreports.com. There are 9 articles up under the mortgage crisis heading, and again, we're coming into a holiday season right now where people are going to be surrounded by friends and family, and I'll tell you what, your friends and family are the ones that are affected by this issue. So if you're the one person in your friends and family group that knows about this, print these articles out. Get them in front of people and have an actual, real-life, based-in-reality type of discussion around your Christmas table or Hanukkah table, or whatever table it is that you guys are gathering around this holiday season, because this is an actionable item. And so, Greg, because we do have new listeners and because there are some people out there that may not have any idea what we're talking about right now, would you give us a little bit of insight into your background and then talk to us about what your discoveries have entailed, how you came through, you know, the S&L crisis and then started researching your own mortgage, and talk to us about what has actually happened and what we actually know today, sir, if you will.
Sure. I was one of a very small select group of people who just by happenstance during the mid-80s, 85 and 86 to be exact, collectively uncovered on a national basis the S&L debacle. Mm-hmm. That led us down the rabbit hole, ended up being in a lawsuit that we eventually won through settlement in late 1993. Skip forward 25 or so years to 2008. My phone started ringing off the wall in late October, mid-November of 2008 from people with whom I'd been associated 25 years prior. Excuse me, asking me if I was aware of the home mortgage crisis. I said, not really. My mortgage was current, never missed a payment, never late, wasn't thinking about it. I was basically retired, and I hadn't focused on it much. And so they said, we got a major problem. Would you be willing to help us bring some of your asset to the table and try to help us figure out what's going on? Obviously, I couldn't say no, so I got involved. And in the course of that six-month beta test, if you will, we came up with over 1,000 individual acts of outright fraud or state statute and federal code violations in my singular mortgage. That led to me filing 2 lawsuits. First one I won't talk about. The second one is the current lawsuit that's moving forward towards the Supreme Court. That is a civil pro se RICO fraud lawsuit based only in mortgage fraud. We're attacking the bankers and the government heads on, based on the fraud that they have colluded to perpetuate against me and every other American homeowner in this country. That led to, in April of 2014, my filing of an official IRS and SEC whistleblower package, the purpose of which was to attack those two agencies, being the two most powerful agencies involved in this fraud, to see if we could get them to react to our over 15,000 pages of evidence proving the securitization fraud and what is now proven to be the largest income tax evasion fraud in recorded history.
So we're talking about the largest income tax evasion fraud in history, and you essentially put all of this information and took it to the IRS, which, you know, for all intents and purposes should be the organization that is responsible for investigating all of this, or at least one of them. And I can only imagine you of course received a glowing response and a big whistleblower reward for your efforts, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been having dinner 3 times a week and singing songs together. I've never been so despicably disgusted by anything in my entire life.
So it wasn't a warm reception then, you're saying?
No. It took them 5 months just to get back to me to say they'd received the package. We sent out over 505 of them to every senator, every almost all the inspector generals, not everyone, but about 60% of the inspectors general in the nation, the G20, news agencies all around the country, and starting, of course, with Barack Obama at the top of the list.
Right.
And we've had 4 responses, all of which are on our website, saveourfamilyandhome.com. You can get there going through Red Pill Reports, please. We've had 4 responses from the Federal Trade Commission, the General Accounting Office, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Justice, and every single one of them have outright lied on their signature, on their letterhead, in writing, stating that these issues are not within the scope of their jurisdiction.
And that's, I mean, if, ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't just astound you, I mean, again, we've talked a lot on the radio about, you know, what the responsibilities of the Justice Department actually are. But you see the guys who are running it, the Eric Holder, you know, it's, the situation is so dire at this point because these people, they are protecting the big money interests. They're not here to protect us. We've talked about that ad nauseum, you know, over and over. You know, the continuity of government plan has to do with the continuity of the government. It has nothing to do with the continuity of your well-being. And that comes down on every front, from health to your economic well-being to your educational well-being, all of it. It's all being controlled around you. Here's a story that came out today, Greg, I think you might be interested in. This just came across the Housing Wire this morning. Listen to this headline. Large banks lower lending standards to pre-crisis levels. Listen to this. Top banks have lowered their standards on some of the riskiest lending, raising concerns that the nation is returning to the same weak underwriting witnessed just before the 2008 financial crisis. And this is according to a Bloomberg article as well. And it's talking about the annual report from the Office of the Comptroller of Currency, saying that they have found that banks have continued to erode standards, especially in large corporate loans, consumer loans, and leveraged lending. So what are they doing right now? They are setting the stage, it seems to me, for a complete rebirth of this housing bubble market crash again, don't you think?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. It's astounding. Some of the real estate meetings I've attended in the last 2 years, I always get asked to leave or ushered out when it comes time for questioning, because they're all lying. Every right. one of these house flipping stuff and all this stuff. None of these people are telling the American public what is true. They're all a bunch of suckerfish trying to scavenge, as in a shark feeding frenzy, all the chum mm-hmm. that is floating down in the water. Mm-hmm. Telling people that deeds of trust are okay, change of title are okay, this is a great time to become a multimillionaire in the real estate business. And they just fail to tell you that almost every mortgage in this country has been legally destroyed by the involvement of MERS, the DTCC, Wall Street, and the securitization problem, and that most of us don't even have homeowners' title policies on our homes. What we have paid for is mortgage lender title policies, which protect, as in the form of an insurance policy, the mortgage lenders who have given us the money, or theoretically loaned us the fake money, the fiat mm-hmm. currency, to buy the home. Mm-hmm. Nobody's addressing the issue.
Well, here I beg to differ, my friend, because MERS, the organization that we're talking about right now, that issue is being addressed, and they just won another lawsuit in Rhode Island. Again, this is coming across the Housing Wire just this morning. MERS Corp earned another legal victory against a disgruntled mortgager who claimed that MERS didn't have the authority to assign a mortgage. The company announced Tuesday that the Supreme Court of Rhode Island agreed with its previous rulings on the MERS-related cases and dismissed a case in which a borrower challenged MERS rights to assign a mortgage. So again, you know, we're working, you're working. I'm just a guy sitting here, but you guys, you and Scott, have put together an amazing lawsuit. And it's so funny to me that yours is just absolutely being shut down on every level. But the Supreme Courts around the country, boy, they have plenty of time to rule in favor of MERS, don't they?
It's phenomenal. Pardon my laughing in the background. All you need to do is to go look at the federally issued by 21 major federal government agencies, the cease and desist order about 3 years ago against MERS, which they have totally ignored. It has been totally not enforced, in which these 21 agencies, including the Federal Housing Finance Agency, FHFA, which is the owner and the conservator on behalf of the federal government, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, both of which are bankrupt as a street urchin, mm-hmm. they were given a cease and desist order, I believe it's about 78 pages long, in which they outlined all of the criminal and illegal behavior of MERS, in which they stated, MERS, you can't have any foreclosure rights. You have no interest in these mortgages by your own documentary admonition, of which we have all of it.
Wow.
And so the Supreme Courts are obviously in collusion with them. Let's call a spade a spade.
I agree. I want to backtrack just for a second here because, again, we've got a lot of new listeners. And what we're really talking about right now is the breaking of the chain of title. And I wonder if there may be people out there, Greg, who don't even know what a chain of title is or why it is important. So perhaps we should address that point before we move forward.
The chain of title is comprised of two documents. Depending upon the state in which you live, it's either called a mortgage or it's called a deed of trust. That is the actual transfer of ownership of the property, theoretically, from the previous owner to you, the current homeowner. The second document that is attached legally under federal law and supported by the Supreme Court decision of decades ago entitled Carpenter v. Longan, L-O-N-G-A-N, which you can see on the site and read for yourself, is the document called the promissory note. And that is the financial document which gives value to the property because it represents the money that was loaned to you to acquire the property. And for your own interest, it is theoretically intended to protect your legal ownership in that property. Mm-hmm. Now, if those two documents, under law, they must always be connected legally. If you ever disconnect them legally, under the U.S. Supreme Court decision, Carpenter v. Longan, both issues become nullities. They cannot be reconnected.
So, and it's also important to understand that the chain of title is exactly like what it sounds. It is a chain. It is an ownership chain that you can trace all the way back until that land was granted initially. A lot of the land in our country was granted to us by the King of England before the Revolutionary War, and that's where we get our sovereignty from. It has to deal with the fact that God gave us dominion and administrative duties over the land. So you have to be a landowner to be sovereign. It's a kind of what happens in a trust law situation, but you have to be able to trace that chain of title should go all the way back to the initial land grant. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And when the chain of title is broken, it's like taking you're going down a highway and all of a sudden they take the rest of the road that's in front of you away and they mask it in fog and you drive off into the abyss. Mm-hmm. That's what happens because the entire process stops. And at that point, you own your house.
Right. Okay. So in the event of a break in your chain of title, you're saying that they cannot be reconnected at any way. So once it's broken, it's broken. Is that the way I'm understanding this?
Yeah. There is a way to do it. If you were to let me put it this way. The answer is yes and no.
Okay.
The yes is, could it theoretically be connected? Yes, but you would have to be an idiot to agree to it because without your homeowner's agreement and the act of a court, the deed of trust and the promissory note cannot be reconnected. That means that if you find someone has defrauded you and stolen hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars from you, depending upon the value in the house, that if they came to you and said, oh, we're sorry, we defrauded you, would you please agree to voluntarily walk back into that debt, let us go to the court and get the federal or state judge, depending upon the jurisdiction, to reconnect the deed of trust, and you give us, with the promissory note, and you give us a get-out-of-jail-free card,
mm-hmm.
if you were to agree to that, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So the real answer is practically no. Yes, it could technically be reconnected by a court if you agreed to it. But all you should have to say is, no, you're a crook. You defrauded me. I'm not going along with it. The situation stays as it is. I should be awarded quiet title. The debt is wiped away. You guys should not have attempted to screw and defraud me. Therefore, I own the house. To heck with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what you should say.
What about the lenders, though? I mean, aren't the lenders in the same situation? The people who are own these mortgages, according to MERS, you know, the banks and things like that. That maybe the home is owned by the bank. Aren't the banks concerned about the fact that the chain of title has been broken, or are they just part of the good old boys club so they don't care?
they never put the money into it anyway.
Well, that's, you know, we talk about that quite a bit on the show too, is that, you know, in my opinion, every single loan that's gone down probably in the last 100 years could be nullified pretty simply by just pointing out the fact that the bank monetized your promissory note and they essentially told you they had the money up front, but they didn't, which means they didn't disclose to you all the information in terms of that contract, which means you weren't granted the ability to consider all of the terms because you didn't know any of them, which means that contract is not valid. But we do know for a fact that the banks do monetize our promissory notes, but I'm still concerned because if the banks think that they own all of these things and are trading them in derivatives, I mean, to say that they're trading paper and vapor at this point would be an understatement, don't you think?
Yes, it is. But remember, above and beyond all of the verbiage and the rhetoric, remember, fraud vitiates the contract. So when they commit fraud, the deal's done. There's nothing else to talk about. It has nothing to do with whether or not they're voluntarily and intentionally committing suicide, whether they're a part of the fraud or not. If they're guilty of fraud, that vitiates, totally destroys the contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not an issue of, well, we don't want to hurt the banks. It may hurt our economy. People, our economy is close to being dead as it is.
Yeah, I mean, big time.
Don't voluntarily walk into that morass and you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And in this case, when fraud is as rampant in this industry as it is, JD, the contracts are null and void. We have to force the politicians and the courts by frontal assault. We have to get them to start following the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's another story that bounced across my desk this morning. This kind of relates here. A St. Louis area mortgage company executive has now admitted fraud. He's looking at 30 years in prison plus about $1 million fine. And the reason I'm bringing this particular story up, it's dealing with this guy, Mark Avalos, who is the controller for the Mortgage Store, Inc. He's been placed in federal custody and blah, blah, blah. He's not really a good dude, and obviously he's going to go to jail. But the reason I brought this up is because his home base was in Maryland Heights, and it was also here at the Lake of the Ozarks in Osage Beach. So you got to focus on the fact that this is not just some esoteric thing that's happening, you know, on Wall Street or in some community that isn't around yours. You know, this is in your neighborhood. This is affecting that house that's sitting across the street from you for sale right now. People really need to understand that this issue is so much bigger than anything that we have seen before. Don't you think, Greg?
There's no question. There's just Fannie Mae alone has destroyed over 70 million mortgages in this country. Nobody knows exactly what the true total number of mortgages existing today are, but it's estimated to be something in the 80 to 90 million range.
Wow.
So you tell me what percentage 70 million is of somewhere in the range of 80 to 90 million.
Wow, it sounds like about 90% right now in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real close. And so therefore, most every mortgage in the country has been funneled through the MERS system. And MERS was a pre-engineered RICO construct as a theoretic. People have lied. They lie all the time. And they say that MERS was accepted by individual states to replace the sovereignty of the county registrar's office in the states. That's a lie. Go read the congressional finding documents and hearings conducted in all the states, and you will find that is not what happened. What MERS is an independent owned. The stockholding owners of MERS are some of the biggest banks and the biggest players on Wall Street. That conversation we've had previously about who really owns the mortgages, DTCC and Seed and Company, going all the way to the City of London. And what has happened is that they formed MERS to be a private electronic only, meaning it's non-traceable, meaning you, the homeowner, can't find out what the heck they're doing to you. The bell should be going off in your head saying, wait a minute, that's fraud. I'm a part of the contract. There's supposed to be no secrets between the parties in the contract. And if I'm a party to that contract and you're keeping secrets from me, which deleteriously hurt me, that's fraud. Yeah, you're right.
Well, and
if you're not having those thoughts, then something's wrong.
Right. Well, and it's like institutionally putting the fox in charge of the hen house, really, you know?
That's exactly what it is.
Ah, just so frightening. So, okay, how exactly, for the people who aren't, you know, or might be just tuning in, how did we get from the broken chain of title with MERS into the development of vast amounts of derivative trading? You know, how did that money actually, what were the mechanics that made that money pool available to these people?
Good question. Not an easy answer. I will summarize and leave out a lot of the technical step-by-step specifics.
Okay.
When MERS took in these 70 million mortgages, they electronically, without anybody's knowledge, separated the deed of trust / mortgage from the promissory note.
Okay.
When that happened, remember Fannie Mae is called a government-sponsored enterprise, GSE. It's not a separate enterprise. It is a part of the federal government.
Okay.
It is a part of the federal government. That means the federal government had ownership and direct control over those 70 million mortgages.
Right.
When they separated, they took the promissory notes and they funneled them into trusts, most of which were established under the laws of the state, the trust laws of the state of New York. Then what happened was those trusts ultimately then within normally 9 to 15 months after the date of closing of the trust, they elected what's called a REMIC option, real estate mortgage investment conduit. That is not a type of organization. It is a income tax treatment election.
Ah, okay.
It is, the trust is the legal entity. The REMIC, which many people misstated. They say, well, the REMIC is an organizational type. No, it's not. It is an income tax election option. It doesn't have to be reviewed, doesn't have to be approved. It was simply a form, a 15D, which the trusts file with the IRS and say, we now have less than 300 owners of the trust. Therefore, we no longer have to file quarterly reports. We don't have to tell you anything about us. We don't have to pay tax.
So they were able to take those 70 million and they broke them up into groups that were small enough that would essentially they could avoid paying taxes on them is essentially what happened. And there were so many of those groups now that the totalitarian, you know, tax evasion that results from that is essentially the largest tax evasion in the history of, well, capitalism, right?
That's right. And there are a lot of technical reasons why it is absolute, pure, abjurate, in-your-face tax evasion. We don't have time to get into it, but that's what it is.
Well, and I'm really glad that you're here. I want to come back from the break. I want to talk a little bit about the RICO aspect, because a lot of people may not know that once these bankruptcy situations go down at the Fannie Mae's and the Freddie Mac's, that they don't have to disclose any of the information. They don't have to disclose any of the reasoning behind it or any of the property that they have. But RICO gets you around all that. So we really do have an action item here. We're going to come back. We'll have Scott Bennett on the show. Greg Morse is going to be sticking around, so keep it here for this 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll get into some more of this heavy, heavy information.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest-growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why, with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sill, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sill?
He's part of the family now, Deke.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys stuck with us through that 3-minute break. We are in the middle of a pretty heavy-duty conversation right now. We've obviously been chatting with Greg Morse for about the last half an hour, trying to bring into scope the totality of this mortgage crisis that's going on. And so, Greg has been working with a guy named Scott Bennett, who is a just absolute wonderful guy as well. I'm just now getting in touch with him, but Greg has told me so many wonderful things about Scott. Same kind of situation between Greg and Scott that Greg and I have these days in terms of being willing to go into a battlefield with this gentleman. But for those of you folks out there who don't know, Scott Bennett is a U.S. Army Special Operations Officer. He was part of the 11th Psychological Operations Battalion and is a Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command as well. And he's also a Global Psychological Warfare Counterterrorism Expert. Man, that is a heck of a title, Scott. He was also formerly a defense contractor with Booz Allen Hamilton, who, if I'm not mistaken, was also the company that employed Mr. Snowden as a contractor. Now, Scott received a direct commission as an officer, which those of you who don't know about law or military, military type things, that's not something that happens very typically. It's not very often that someone just decides to give you a commission as an officer because obviously Scott's background is very, very important for what he was attempting to do down at the Air Force Base in Tampa and working for very high level international counterterrorism teams in Washington, D.C. and et cetera. So Scott, thank you very much for joining Greg and myself on Red Pill Reports this morning.
Eddie, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. As I said, Greg has spoken so highly of you, and I know that this whole mortgage scandal situation, you guys both have two very unique sides of the same coin, so to speak. But I wonder if, before we start, if you could fill in just a little bit of the holes of your background, how you got involved in, as a special operations officer. Obviously, you had top secret clearance and very specialized, compartmentalized clearance. Very, very specific type of information that you were after. But how did you fall into this? And kind of bring us up to speed with your take on what's going on in this entire story, if you would, sir.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being courageous enough to even touch this story. So many people refuse to because it's such a hot potato. And as I've been told by many journalists, so many people are dead around you. Mm-hmm. And, that may faze journalists, but it doesn't faze me and it doesn't faze Greg as prior military men. We have a sacred oath that we take very seriously, which is to the Constitution. And I know you have a similar patriotic heart, as do your listeners. So we're all on the same team. But it takes a special a special operator, if you will, to even take this subject on. So I consider you one of the special forces in the media world that's willing to do that.
Well, thank you for that.
With regards to my background, I mean, Greg Morse is a godsend and a blessing because of his wealth of knowledge and his temperament and his character. He knows more about the mortgage crisis and the money derivatives and and he brings a scientific lens and an accountant's scrutiny and a methodical engineer attention to detail that very few men have.
Yes.
The only ones who do are pilots. And Greg was an F-4 pilot. My dad was a Marine Corps aviator pilot. So I recognize the character streak in him. And it's very noble. It's very bold. And he has been researching and attacking this for a few years now. He got in touch with me after the Kerry Cassidy show and said, your UBS financial terrorist report and all the material you've done dovetails with a lot of the material that I've done in the mortgage banking crisis. And I'm wondering if you are aware of some of these tie-ins. And I said, you know, really, I'm not as schooled in that as I should be. I know the general outline, but mostly my focus has been in the spook world and the intelligence world and the military psychological warfare world. And my only introduction really to the banking industry was through Brad Birkenfeld, the UBS Swiss banker.
Mm-hmm.
And my background before the banking industry was looking at terrorist organizations, terrorist couriers, terrorist means of financing their operations, their battle plans, their jihads, their donors, everything, the countries, the royal families, the governments that were involved in that. Now let me note, as you know, nothing I say is ever classified. Everything that I say is unclassified, but it's very powerful because it came to me directly from the horse's mouth, directly from the UBS whistleblower himself, which is an astounding story that you couldn't make up. And, you know, I'm faithfully, you know, committed that this is sort of an act of providence that's bringing this all together. And our duty is to carry it forth to the American people and be honest and speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So what I discovered in a nutshell was that the UBS terrorist financing bank accounts that Brad Birkenfeld had disclosed to the United States government, some 24,000 of them, had never been shared with the military terrorist finance operations. None of our military forces that deal with this sort of mission. And I was appalled. I was disgusted, and I thought this is borderline treason.
Uh-huh.
And I analyzed all of his documents, and I kept coming to the same conclusion. And I filed whistleblowing reports up the chain of command. I filed them up to the Congress, senators, to every Armed Services, Intelligence, Foreign Affairs Committee that you could imagine, up the military chain of command, the high-level colonels, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of the Army, the Inspector General of the Pentagon, Glenn Halbrooks, Buck McKeon, the Armed Services Chairman, someone who was in the Army, someone you would expect to pick up something that is of significant intelligence value that can lead to the ceasing of killing soldiers. You would think Buck McKeon and John McCain would have jumped on it and said, what have you got? Where did you get this? What's being done about it? Not one single word was ever said to me. And I've been at this like someone trying to break down a castle door with a ramrod, and it's slowly beginning to crack. It's slowly beginning to break. But Greg Morse had connected with me and introduced me to a lot of his material that I'm sure, you know, you went in with him, where the banking monies and the banking accounts that have been subjugated to funny distillation processes and multi-layered mortgage instrumentation have really had a lot of the profits funneled off to accounts that have been utilized by CIA black operations and various other components of funding the war in the Middle East. And when you look at I came into the military as someone who was looking to solve a problem, and I came into a world of problems, and immediately when I was trying to make recommendations, I got pulled and yanked off the stage and criticized and attacked from every angle. And I slowly came to the reality that these men in uniform were not really serious about solving the problem. And the more I got into it, I discovered there really was no problem. It was all made up. It was all artificial. There were no real serious terrorist threats. And then I began to look even deeper as, well, why is this all being done? And, of course, it was to enrich the defense contracting community. It's a multi-billion dollar community. It's to eradicate the Israeli threats in the Middle East, to turn them into crumbling sandcastles where there's nothing but chaos and disillusion, and then also focus on the Iranian and Syrian problem and use that as Brzezinski's stepping stone into weakening and destabilizing Russia and eventually having a regime change there as part of this hegemonic crusade for an imperial neoconservative global agenda.
Wow.
And it's a staggering story, but Greg and I have come together and formed a lot of the financial analysis. So he brings a lot of the financial bank mortgage crisis, which affects every single American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring the military counterterrorism side, and we're sort of running together and making this known, and I'm just humbled and glad that there are men like you that have the strength to put this on, because I was just told today by Abby Martin on RT that she refuses to do anything on this story. She's paranoid of it. Michael Hastings was killed off when he got wind of this, and I sent him a lot of materials. Michael Isikoff refused to do it, and a few others that have come up have refuse to touch this. They once they get connected to me and they see the depth of it and they see how ferocious I am on it, they just don't want to touch it. But I thought that was funny. Abby Martin on RT, someone that you thought would have been a vanguard of freedom, is turned into a Barbie doll of the left.
It's just astounding to me that that's what's going on. You know what? The thing that really gets me, I'm really glad you brought up Michael Hastings, because, you know, there's been a lot of conjecture about what happened to that young man. And, me with a skeptical mind, I look at that situation and see the car on the street and the motor being, 150 feet away. There's just no possible way that that coincides with the laws of physics as we know them. So my question then, maybe it's naivety that has got me into this mess, being connected with you guys, but I'm not afraid of anything. I've told everybody around me that my car won't go 100 miles an hour. So if it ends up going 100 miles an hour and blowing up, be suspicious. I've also gone on record and said, I'm never going to shoot myself twice in the face with a shotgun. So if that happens, please again, be suspicious. So, but talk about a little bit of the blowback that you've experienced from exposing this. And are you concerned about being Michael Hastings, so to speak?
No, I'm not concerned at all. I'm aware of who holds my tomorrows. I have no doubts whatsoever. Whatever's meant to be is meant to be. I'm quite capable of defending myself in every dimension of the word.
Mm-hmm.
I've uploaded and safely transferred every file, every document, every phone call that has been recorded to lots of sources and friends and associates and legal counsel. Should anything happen to me, I did it well before I even went public and had my torpedoes all loaded, safely locked away, because I knew this was going to take a critical speed in about 6 to 9 months. That was my forecast. And I got out in February and hit the ground running, and everything is been proceeding. I've had some wonderful surprises, such as coming into contact with Mr. Morse that I never expected.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a tremendous blowback. The negativity and the hostility really is based on fear. It's based on, and it's sad to say, and I don't mean to over psychoanalyze it, but a lot of these journalists are so wrapped up into the vanity and the Hollywood dreams of being on the radio or being on their own TV show or being on their internet broadcast that they have lost sight with the fact that they're there is to be a mouthpiece for the American people.
Yes.
They are there to be an articulator of truth and an advanced intellect in order to process the information and explain its value and importance to the listener, specifically its constitutional importance and its legal grounds, because at the end of the day, people want to live in peace, mm-hmm. live in tranquility, raise their children, and not be involved in an endless war that is bleeding them dry, where they don't have enough funds to eat or provide for their parents or have a child or get married. Not in that order. So some of the blowback, I mean, it's all in the materials. I've listed Shell Game on the website, but it's been Michael Isikoff, Tom Hamburger, Washington Post, MSNBC refused to touch this. Abby Martin, RT, refused to touch this. Amira David refused to touch this at RT. Guyan Chikayan at RT refused to touch this. Fox News, Britt Hume, Bill O'Reilly refused to touch this. Sean Hannity refused to touch this. Greta Van Suster and Monica Crowley.
Wow.
Krauthammer. Everyone in the New York Times. I mean, I've got a book of exhibits that's about 2 inches thick that are all the letters that I've sent to the military, the media, and the Congress with the reports basically saying I'm a United States Army officer illegally and unconstitutionally imprisoned in a civilian prison for duties I was performing as a soldier. The same thing that they did to Susan Lindauer, if you're familiar, the CIA asset.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They threw her in for 9 months. They did the same thing to me. And it's astounding that our country has fallen so low and degraded so far that they think they can get away and they think they can be quiet on this. I don't think they recognize history, and they certainly don't understand the character of the American people. The American people are a sleeping giant. Once they are arose and they get the scent of this and how this has caused their sons and their daughters and their neighbors and their nephews and their relatives to be killed or blinded or maimed in war. This has stolen a lot of their money that they otherwise would have had in their investment portfolios. This robs the heart of the American person. It robs their purse and it robs their family blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sickening that you've got men in Washington that are so blind and happy to wage a young man's war, but they're not young men. They're not going to the fight.
That's
young
right.
Men between 18 and 35, we're the ones who are going and fighting and bleeding and losing,
mm-hmm.
not the old men over 60 years of age. So I'm encouraged that, you know, people like you who are of that youth and vigor and vitality will take this on and make it known.
Well, we have to do something. I mean, it's like you just said, that the American people are a sleeping giant right now. But that's the challenge that we have here right now. It is impressing upon people the idea, A, that you've been affected. Regardless of what you think right now, you've been affected. Even if it's not your home, it's your family's home. It's even bigger than that, because it's the value of the home. And it seems to be par for the course for what is going on in our country right now. You know, before you came on, I had talked to Greg about a couple of news articles that came across the Housing Wire today, one of which was the MERS Corporation being granted, being bestowed upon by the Supreme Court, the fact that they were made of puppies and rainbows and that they can do no wrong and things like that. So we see, I want to believe that, yeah, there might be some people in Washington that are turning a blind eye to this, but I can't believe that. I believe that this entire thing is an orchestrated event. And that, you know, the blowback that we see affecting you, the blowback that we have heard affecting Greg, is a result of these people trying to circle the wagons and continue down the same course no matter what happens. No matter what happens, they don't care about us. It's they've got their fake money. They're able to leverage it. And happy days are here again if you're part of that team. I think the level of collusion that's going on is astounding to me, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think you nailed it on the head, and you've got a lot of courage and sharpness to be able to see that it is a conspiracy. It is a calculated, conscious move. What is offensive, of course, you know, to people like you and me is the moral disregard and the blatant hostility latent in doing this. People who can consciously engage in activities and complicated financial manipulation that they know is going to devastate young families and retired people is absolutely unconscionable to people like you
it's,
and me.
It's evil. There's no other way to. I mean, if you're talking about the idea that we are in a spiritual war, which is something we talk about here on the show all the time, there is an influence of evil working on the hearts and the minds of men in our country and in the population of the world, you know, globally. And that's what this is. This is people who have given up on humanity, who have given up on altruism, who only care about themselves. And that is definitively evil. I don't know any other word to describe it, Scott.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, I think you're right on the money. I mean, I would love to see your vigor and your talk on this harnessed and expressed to more of the university crowd students. I would love to see more of the colleges and the universities, because quintessentially that is always where revolutions start. It's right. Usually on the 18 to 25 year old level, college campuses or the military enlisted men. And that's a prime target, and you're reaching that, and I would just encourage you to follow that. Greg and I are trying to get out and get more into the public speaking and college tours and just waking up America and spreading it and doing it fearlessly. That's one thing that military men, when they understand this and when they see the parties involved, our allegiance goes to the Constitution. Our allegiance goes to our country, our soil, our community, our villages, our lands, mm-hmm. not to Washington, not to the President of the United States, not to the Congress, but to the Constitution. We are equal partners. And that's the difference of an officer versus the enlisted. Our oath is to the Constitution. Now, we have an obligation to go out to every single military man and say, are you aware of this? If you're not, here's how it affects you. And your oath as an officer of the United States military, past and present, compels you to action. Now, are you with us? Are you going in this direction? And we're not talking about anything radical or crazy or anything violent. We're talking about utilizing the legal political systems to recapture and re-liberate our constitutional freedoms and hold to account and legally liable and punishable in courts of law these people who have engaged in illegal fraud and financial manipulation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or as Michael Knight said it, David Knight said it so eloquently on the other day on InfoWars, this is our opportunity to kick the banksters in the nuts. I mean, that's essentially what we have on the table right now.
Yeah. No, it's funny. One thing, and don't let me digress. If you want to jump in, you haul me off with a cane. But one thing I wanted to throw in was Greg brought up a great point that in 2012, 1 month before Brad Birkenfeld got out of prison, the Senate released a Senate report on banking, funding terrorism and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they refused to publish was all of the UBS, the Union Bank of Switzerland, applications and connections and accounts and roles in international terrorism, which was the biggest bank in the world that funded terrorism because of its Swiss bank's operations.
Okay.
And that's what Brad Birkenfeld brought. Not one word, not one mention of UBS was in the Senate report on finance and funding terrorism. And that came out 1 month before Birkenfeld got out. I sent a report up to Levin, up to the military, and up to Congress September 25th, 2012. So August, September, 2 months later, I sent a report up to Levin and all these guys saying, you've missed some critical junctures. Here's all the things that have just been brought to my attention. I'm a military officer. These accounts are funding terrorism. Here's how you solve it. Here's what needs to be done. Debrief me. And Brad Birkenfeld had sent the same letter to General James Mattis at Central Command. I sent mine to General Jeffrey Jacobs at USACAPOC, which was U.S. Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command at Fort Bragg, and a Lieutenant Colonel Bauckham Fulk. No one responded. No one added. No one did an addendum. You would think if they're serious about stopping the funding of terrorism, they would have taken all of this Swiss bank information and utilized it. The fact that they didn't is blood on their hands. That
yes.
shows that it was a conspiracy. You don't get a free pass. This was not negligence. This was a conscious act, because I've been at them at a typewriter for 2 years. 2 years. And they have gone dead silent and never responded.
Wow. It's just so astounding to me. I'm really glad you brought up the idea of Providence, though, because I want to come into this Brad Birkenfeld connection. And I'm you know, obviously both of you guys ended up in prison at the same time together. And my thoughts on meeting you and meeting Greg and having the whole Red Pill Reports thing come together. Obviously, this is bigger than myself and you and every, you know, there's a beneficial force that's working here for our favor, I think, keeping us safe, keeping us protected. And I wonder if you think, you know, in your opinion, if the putting you in a prison cell with Brad Birkenfeld, which really, ostensibly, if you're on the other side of the coin, if you're a bankster, would be a bad move, you know, getting you two guys together. Do you think that was an act of God, or do you think that perhaps there are people on the inside that might have said, I need to get these two guys together and I'm going to make that happen?
Well, you know, Carrie Cassidy had said the same thing. It could be the White Hats were putting you together. You were known. You've been known in the community. You were known as a shaker-upper and a bull in a china shop. But and that may be true. However, God's in charge of them, too. God right. is in charge of all human beings. And I say my prayers every day. And I've tried to explain it to my family and friends who were outraged that this ever happened to me. And I always come back to, you know, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Had I not gone to prison, I would never have met Brad Birkenfeld. Mm-hmm. Had I never met Brad Birkenfeld, I would never have discovered all these Union Bank of Switzerland terrorist accounts, which was my mission in the Army. I had been sent to find terrorist financing, terrorist finance bank accounts, and report it and stop it. I went to prison and found the biggest source of terrorist finance accounts, 24,000. And the man, the whistleblower, over 6 months, I debriefed him. And it was absolutely mesmerizing. The other men who were with us, we had a 30-year Army major. We had an intel analyst. We had an ex-Air Force Special Forces guy. We had lawyers. We had brilliant men at this federal prison camp. It was white collar, and some of these men that were with us or analyzing it could all witness to this as well. And we kept coming to the reality God has orchestrated this. So how do we do it and move forward? It's not for selfish purposes. It's not for vanity. It's not for revenge. It's nothing like that. It's to he who much is given, much will be expected.
Yes.
And when I discovered this, I thought, this is why I'm here. This is why this crazy charge that they tried to put against me is so laughable. It's going to be thrown out of court. If it goes to that far to the Supreme Court, it will be thrown out, because you can't allow a military officer to be charged with wearing his uniform by a civilian justice department or a paperwork error when the military orchestrate this. So
yeah.
it was laughable. So when I went in there, I thought, you couldn't describe a better special operation. Had I been paid by the Army to go in here and discover this material, I would be a colonel by now.
Right. All right, well, we've got to take a quick 3-minute break. Again, we're discussing the mortgage crisis and all the related ancillary funding of terrorism activity that has resulted from it. We are, of course, joined by Scott Bennett and Greg Morris. We've got a 3-minute break. We'll come right back, and we'll dive right back into this. So keep it here. We're going to get into the action item here pretty soon, because we do have remedy for this, ladies and gentlemen. There is something that we can do right now and solve this problem. So keep it right here, guys.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want.
Ever since our Google Plus integration, we've seen a 30% reduction in racist and bigoted comments. People are even starting to notice the complete lack of bigoted comments, and frankly, they miss them. To make up for this deficit, we have added auto-commenting bots to YouTube Plus that can be set to either type racist or hateful comments. Similar to the auto-comment bot, we've created the auto-spam bot, which allows terrible YouTubers to beg people to watch their horrible excuses for videos they put out. These comments can go out to every video they've ever interacted with.
Hey guys! So we're like really wanting to be filmmakers on YouTube, and we'd totes appreciate it if you come watch our videos and comment, like, and subscribe. That'd be totes amazeballs. Yeah, we really like subscribers.
YouTube Plus. We own you!
Evil contains within it the seed of its own destruction.
Truth Warrior with David Whitehead. Mondays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, of course, your daily dose of deprogramming, and my name is JD, and we are live just like we are every day, Monday through Friday, and we're moving into the second hour of our guest slot. This is the last segment for the show today, and we are obviously discussing the mortgage scandal and all the ancillary funding of terrorism activities that came out of it. We've been joined today by the one and only Greg Morse and the other one and only Scott Bennett. These are the two guys who have done more work in this particular investigation than anyone else on the planet, and probably have suffered more as a result of their investigation than anyone else also, which is saying a lot given the fact that 90% of the people that we are talking to right now are affected by this situation, because it is your mortgages, ladies and gentlemen, that we are speaking about being taken and being turned into financial instruments that were used against us. And, you know, Scott, before the break, one of the things that you had talked about, and I want to bring Greg back into the discussion here too, because I think service people are the people that really need to be affected by this the most, or need to be really brought into the scope of awareness on this. Because if you're an infantry person and you're out, you know, doing rounds against ISIS or whatever it is that you're out doing right now, it's important to understand that there's a direct money chain that took place, you know, as they took money out of our country and they funded these organizations with weapons and training and things like that that are currently shooting back at our infantrymen right now. I mean, there's a direct correlation there. You guys are being attacked by bullets that were paid for because of this agenda that we're talking about right now. And so I want to go back to Greg for just a second, if I can. And Greg, I want you to talk about the importance of a warrior mentality going into this battle that we're fighting. I had talked to Scott just a second ago about, you know, bravery and about the fact that we're up against this battle. And I don't really liken it to bravery. Maybe it is, but my experience with these people, and by people, I mean the powers that shouldn't be, the people that are, you know, your cash confiscatory agencies, these idiots that represent the government as agents under color of law. My experience with them is that if you put a knife in your teeth and you run right at them, that they will scatter. Is that your experience as well, Greg?
Yeah, I think they're punks. I think these people have been covered and protected by the political system and the banksters that buy and own them for so long that they have become totally and completely dissociated with the American people.
Yeah, it seems like they created that culture specifically to segregate themselves from the rest of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Let me say one thing if I can. I think it's important that we get this out. We talk a lot about the mortgage crisis and terrorist funding as being the heart of the problem. In large measure, I obviously profess and believe that. But let me tell you, it's a bigger issue, quite frankly. You're either a part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Here's Yes. the way that plays out. The American people did not directly cause this problem. They weren't the ones doing the securitization, the illegal transfers and purchase of weapons and all that. But here's where the American people, in my opinion, truly become culpable, and this question you raise of warriorship comes into play. If you're unaware of a problem, nobody can hold you culpable for not doing anything about it because you're not aware of the problem.
Correct.
But once you are made aware evidentially of the problem and you choose then to do nothing about it, in my book, as an ex-military officer, you are now a co-conspirator after the fact in the perpetuation of the problem.
I agree with that. And that's the thing about issues like this, is this will clarify for people, and I think this is the stem of why this issue is so scary, is because you're being presented with a choice. You can either choose to continue to live in a lie, right, which is obviously a losing battle, or and also makes you a coward, you know, and having to self-realize that you're in fact a coward is not a situation where a lot of people want to be. And I hate to say that, but you're being presented with a situation in which you have to make a choice. You have to either decide, I'm going to live in truth and I'm going to fight for the truth, or I am going to just fade back into the woodwork and be nice and complacent and enjoy my TV dinner. And oh, look, everybody, there's a puppy on TV right now. And that's the problem. And I completely agree with you, Greg, that it's the apathy and complacency of the American people that we are up against right now. So the question then becomes, what are we going to do about it? How do we get these people to get off of their butts and get motivated? I mean, you guys have given them a beautiful option. You don't have to leave your living room. You can go to redpillreports.com, or you can go to saveourfamilyandhome.com, and you can get involved with this petition. This petition that Greg and Scott have put together has got more teeth in a document I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you read that thing and you about want to fall out of your chair because it literally is frightening. I mean, you think this document itself is going to come through your computer and strangle you to death for not being involved, but that's what we need right now. We need to, again, you need to put the biggest knife that you can possibly put in your teeth, and you need to run right at these people. And right now, that knife looks like the petition that you can find at redpillreports.com and at saveourfamilyandhome.com, and we can get involved. That's it. That's the only answer that I can come up with, Greg.
It's the only real choice we have. Let me use my Dresden example. You know, the city of Dresden in Germany, prior to World War II, was considered uniformly to be one of the most beautiful, naturally developed, architecturally perfect cities on the planet. Go to any one of the video sources available all over YouTube and look at what Dresden was at the end of the war. It made the results of the Watts riots look like a day trip to Disneyland, to use your example. Now, what's the application of that analogy? It's real simple. The people in this country have never walked out into their front yard, heard a noise, looked up, and seen a Russian bear bomber dropping a bomb on their house.
Mm-hmm.
We've never been attacked on our land. That means people in this country are absolutely suspect to not knowing what it is to have to stand up for and fight for your rights as a warrior. Why? Because they've never been in a war. Mm-hmm. The people who steal the money have huge budgets that the American people have to pay for in Washington for them to have all their little handlers and their staff. They make the decisions and send other people to go die.
Yes. Man. And that's the truth.
That's what happens. Now, the American people, I don't want to be a shock jock here, gentlemen, but I'm pretty well at the point where I don't care anymore. Political correctness and myself don't get along very well, as you know.
Right.
That's kind of like putting a size 12 foot in a size 10 shoe. I'm sick of it. Americans have got to realize that the euphoric days of everybody's wealthy, everybody's got all the toys, and I can tell you, I've had them all, boats, planes, trains, cars, the whole deal, and I didn't care when I had them, and I don't care now that I don't have them. That materialistic motivation is fraught with failure on all fronts.
Yes.
The American.
JD, let me say one thing Greg has done brilliantly, and that is design the website and the petition as a chess game where he has already won. He has already set up the moves. It just requires people, your listeners, to log on and help move the piece forward. And that piece is a petition that's a legal instrument that then begins to trickle like a pebble down a snow avalanche.
Yes.
And it will inevitably come crashing down the more momentum that builds up with it. Mm-hmm. What people need to do, as you wisely observed, they need to build teams, teamwork, team organizations, just one other person to join one listener, and then you've got a team in their local communities. The best places to start are their places of worship, their bowling leagues, their fraternal organizations, their military veterans groups, their women's clubs. Whatever it requires, start to assemble teams of common-hearted people who believe and are concerned and are not parasitic, who aren't complainers or negative, but love the country like you, Greg, and I do, and begin slowly doing the team building in your own local town community.
Mm-hmm.
Meetup is a great venture. Facebook is a great venture. And align and connect with Greg and I and you, and that team will naturally synergize. And before you know it, in, you know, 1 month, you could have, you know, 100,000 people beginning to contact all the major media people who then in turn start ruffling more of the feathers. I mean, mm-hmm. people can be turned. Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, these people can be turned. We just need to provide the momentum.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because one of the things that we talk about here on Red Pill all the time is the importance of changing your heart, making, you know, internalizing information and deciding on a conscious level that your heart is where everything starts. Because once you've changed your heart, you can change your family. And once you change your family, you can move on to your community. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the ability to connect all of these newly refocused communities in our country? Because boom, there's our country back, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we're trying to accomplish right here, is the change in the heart. That's for the first step in what we're doing right now. So that's why Scott is here, and that's why Greg is here. We are effectively, essentially on our knees right now, begging you guys to get involved, because this is the answer. This is the one thing that we can all do collectively today, right now. And you know, one of the things I talked to Greg about, we've been trying to figure this out for weeks now, Scott, trying to figure out how to incentivize the process with the petition and things like that. But one of the things I had to present back to Greg, and this isn't to poo-poo the petition idea at all, it's that that petition idea and getting this into the hearts and minds of people will open up other avenues. It will open up other options for remedy that we may not even have thought of yet. We might right now be speaking to a Chinese businessman who has got $1 billion worth of mortgages here in the country, and he may not have any idea that he doesn't know it. And I'll tell you what, we get somebody like that on board who wants to lobby Washington, who actually has a major dog in this race, and all of a sudden we've got major, major people on our side. And I think that's, you know, I want to leave that possibility open, so to speak, that again, you know, all of this is happening under the divine providence of our Creator, trying to get us back into balance. And we are so wildly out of balance right now that I think we can expect some pretty significant helping hands from the Almighty, or whatever you want to call it. And I think that we need to be open to that possibility also. So I just want to make sure that people are aware that, you know, the petition is fantastic, and it is absolutely step one in getting this issue out there. We've got a holiday season coming up. We can get that petition in front of 100,000 people close to us and get some resolution. But I want to also, you know, just put it into the hearts and minds of people that there is, a force that is working alongside of us that's bigger than all of us that wants us all to be okay and safe. And I think that we need to, you know, allow our hearts to be open to the idea that that there may be other solutions to this problem out there, and that this is the only way that we're going to get to any of them is by talking amongst one another and getting this information out, becoming a forum for the sharing of information. And that's what we're trying to do here. And I just cannot commend you guys enough for what you guys have done.
JD, I would challenge the listener and all of us to challenge God and say, you know, open up the windows of heaven and see if I will not pour out a blessing upon you you cannot contain.
Yes.
Let us take a little leap of faith forward and commit to doing something, writing an email, making a phone call, opening the conversation, passing along the web links to others, and let's see how God opens up the windows and blesses those people for their little tithes, their little offerings of help and support. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right, and I know this is a blessed movement and moving in just to be obedient to truth and right, and it will be blessed. And everyone who is connected to it will be blessed and will be protected and will be advanced. And new horizons of wisdom and blessing will open up in their life. And you're exactly right. There's an international dimension to this.
Mm-hmm.
There are Europeans and Russians and Chinese and other believers who are friends there that are not hostile to us as American citizens. Mm-hmm. They're not hostile to the United States. And they are part of getting our nation in balance to the point where, you know, they play a key component. So let us really be wise and open to all voices.
Yes.
You know, we're all on this planet, and it's not just about the United States. It's about the rest of our believing community.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very – yes, sir. Hey, Greg.
Let me make a statement, if I might.
Of course.
I think you guys are right on. Let me draw one summary conclusion for the listener. What we're doing has jurisdictional teeth, which means we have the high ground.
Yes.
It means this is a peaceful movement. It means that we have the law behind us.
Yes.
The law is on our side. That's the difference between what we're attempting to get the listener to support us in doing and a typical street rally where people come out and scream and holler about something.
Right.
The people that they're screaming and hollering about, all they have to do is stay inside their building until the people out in the streets get tired and go home, and then they go back to doing situation as usual, because the people who are screaming in the streets don't have any ability to force the people they're screaming at to do anything. Mm-hmm. We do. That's important. Secondly, you hear a lot, and it's very disturbing to me. I just said that most people in this country had never been in a fight. That's not a criticism. It's a statement of fact.
Right.
Now, what does that mean? It means that you hear scarily, more often than not, you hear this little subtle rumbling of people talking about buying guns and ammo and prepping and getting ready to fight and all. You have, unless you've been in the stuff, you have no idea the type of catastrophe that you're setting yourself up for if you think the way to solve this problem is to have some sort of a violent, ungodly, non-moral high ground fight. That is mm-hmm. not the way this is going to be won.
Right.
Right.
You do not know the force and the power of trained killers.
Well,
you do not understand it. So I would suggest to everybody that they recognize that this is not an Amway pep session.
Yes.
That's not what this is. This is an absolute jurisdictionally implementable, legally supported, ethical, peaceful way of forcing the people who have nefarious motivations, that being the 535 in Congress to varying degrees,
uh-huh.
and all of the organizations that they work for and protect, that being the banksters predominantly and the military-industrial complex, Monsanto, and the rest of them. This is the way to tip over the first domino where the American people can become warriors without having to shed a drop of blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's reversing the coup d'etat which occurred under the neoconservative regime in 2001. They did it slowly, and it needs to be reversed, you know, not slowly, but in the same methodical tidal rollback, which mm-hmm. is legal, constitutional, incremental, grassroots, with, you know, burning both ends of the candle on your grassroots level on one end and the federal Washington, D.C. end on the other. And actually, you know, the third part would be internationally.
Right. Well, and I want to point out also that despite the fact that, Scott, you've got, you know, top secret security clearance and compartmentalized data, none of the documents that you guys are bringing to the Congress or are hoping to bring to Congress were obtained illegally. Everything that you guys have was above the board and is absolutely 100% submittable, according to what I've gotten from Greg. Is that correct, Scott?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, so that to me is the big salient thing here, and I want to get back onto what Greg just said, ladies and gentlemen, is that A, this cannot be stopped. And again, we're going back to the RICO idea, that the RICO lawsuit, I mean, we are talking about making connections everywhere, despite the fact that these guys have got protections from bankruptcy courts. I mean, none of that is going to matter. But Greg, talk for a second about the unstoppable nature of this. Where are we at right now in the courts, and why is it that we are going to be able to proceed, regardless of their ability to stop us?
The bottom line is that we cannot force the Supreme Court to do that which they decide to do or not to do. But here's what we can do. They cannot stop our civil RICO pro se lawsuit from getting to the point where I am able to petition the Supreme Court to hear this case. I've been at this for 3.5 years in this case, and we have yet to be awarded our first hearing.
And that's pretty unusual, isn't it? I mean,
it's the first time in history that we can find that to be the case.
And this might be the first time where the initial hearing takes place in front of the Supreme Court, right? I mean, that's never happened.
That is absolutely correct. And to pontificate a little bit on your question about the ability to not stop us, people must realize that if we don't follow the moral high ground, jurisdictionally supported, peaceful route, you're going, which means nobody gets hurt, there's not a drop of blood shed, that if we don't do this, it's my opinion, and I'm speaking for me, not for you, not for Scott or anybody else. Mm-hmm. My opinion is the situation, the condition in the country because of the momentum that's been developed is going to continually become more catastrophically detrimental. And what's going to happen is people who otherwise don't participate and support what we're trying to do, they're going to wake up one day and they're going to have no choice but to spill blood. And it mm-hmm. may very well be their own.
Mm-hmm. JD, let me throw one thing in too. On the legal grounds, the legal activities, another legal instrument that is going to be used is my criminal case appeal. My case has been an appeal since the first day of trial, and I'm going back into the Florida court, and I'm going to introduce all of this material and all of these witnesses, Doug Zakheim, Booz Allen Hamilton, Dempsey, every member of Congress that I've communicated with, every member of the media that I've communicated with. I'm going to depose, and I'm going to bring this back into a Florida court of law under a criminal case where I am looking to exonerate myself and throw everything out mm-hmm. with the foundation that everything that was done to me was vindictive prosecution, was unconstitutional, and it was part of a cover-up to try and silence me from the reports and investigations that I was doing at U.S. Central Command in MacDill Air Force Base in counterterrorism threat finance analysis. And there's contractor fraud. There's Booz Allen Hamilton Department of Defense fraud. There's RICO conspiracies. There's civil rights violations. They illegally threw me in jail, illegally stopped me and arrested me. All of that is going to be brought in under a criminal case. Not just a civil case, but a criminal case first. And that is the breach. Once that criminal case is reexamined in a court of law, and I'll keep you up to date on the dates.
Yes, please.
Then everything will open. Everything will fall apart. All these dominoes will be in major motion because I have kept silent and I never said a word at this criminal case. in respect to the military and the top secret clearance that I had. I expected them to come in and throw this whole thing out at the time.
Right.
Instead, they threw me in jail. And then I discovered Birkenfeld. Well, now I'm coming back into the arena, and Maximus is pissed off, and he's going to bring everybody and hold them to account and say, is that all you've got? Is that all you're going to do to me? Now it's my turn. Let me make known what I've discovered and everybody that's involved. And that, in the criminal case, will help grease the skids for Greg's civil case in this petition, and everything else will follow.
Just unbelievable. I wish that this was a video podcast, because I know right now, ladies and gentlemen at home can't see Scott Bennett, but he keeps leaning towards the camera, and I can see him just getting so frustrated. I can see it in your face that you are ready for a fight, young man, and I'm just so privileged and honored to be part of it with you. But I think both of you guys just really hit the nail on the head right now, is that A, we have an unstoppable case. You guys have a situation right now where things are going to come out. There's going to be, obviously, in your criminal case, Scott, they're going to be granted discovery, and that is just going to put things on the court record that these people do not want down in text, and that's going to be absolutely ginormous. But here's the deal, is that we have seen through the treatment of Scott and through the treatment of Greg Morse, also through the treatment of Brad Birkenfeld, that there is an agenda. There is a huge agenda where they are going to try and circle the wagons. They're going to try and go continuing down this path. Obviously, I don't know if you listened to the first hour, Scott, when we were with Greg, but some of the stories that are coming out of the Housing Wire right now about large banks lowering their underwriting standards again. I mean, it looks like they're gearing up for mortgage crisis 2.0 right now. So we are all presented with a choice. You guys have an opportunity to be part of the legal, peaceful, moral high ground, jurisdictionally appropriate action against this agenda, or you cannot do that, and you can be part of the agenda, which is exactly what you're doing if you turn your back on people like Scott and Morse and on this goal that we've got of getting this stuff in front of Congress. You can fall back into the woodwork, and you can just, you know, be complacent, but just like Greg said, the agenda is going on around you. None of this is existing in a vacuum. When I read a story about the Rhode Island Supreme Court just this morning reapproving the Moores Corporation as being, you know, completely full of puppy dogs and sunshine, that agenda is going on right now around us. Regardless of whether or not you decide to step up and stop it, you're going to be subjected to it. So regardless of, you know, whether or not you have a mortgage that's in this fight, you have a soul that's in this fight, ladies and gentlemen. You're part of, if you understand what liberty is, and that liberty is not the sole exclusive right of Americans. Liberty is something that is given to us by God and exists on every part of humanity around the world. That is what is directly under threat right now, because your liberty has to do with the fact that you need to be self-governing. You need to be able to do what it is that you want to do, and you have been absolutely subjected to a criminal agenda that's just bigger than anything I can even express, guys. I don't know where to go from here, so I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Well, JD, it could happen again. That's the thing, and Greg can talk about this. It can happen again, and yes, it may happen again. That could be part of their plan, is to double dip and go back into your mortgage and have a repeat of 2008 where they get more money out of your house, and it's a repeat operation.
Mm-hmm. And I'll take 45 seconds. We're almost out of time.
We are.
Scott is exactly on point, and this is what I want to get in. Remember, if you don't have a mortgage, it doesn't matter. If you have a pension, you're in the same degree of risk as if you didn't have a mortgage.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to cut you off. We are out of time for the day. This was our Wednesday broadcast. Greg and Scott, thank you guys so much for having the courage to come here and talk about this once again.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely riveting stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, please go to redpillreports.com, find the petition, sign it, get in front of your family. I cannot express that enough to you guys.
The Apple's iPhone 5S has been very successful in the US, but we realize that people here in India cannot afford the iPhone. That's why we've decided to work closely with the Apples to bring the iPhone experience to India. We call it the iPhone 5X. The iPhone 5X was built with advanced new hardware. The phone runs on the new Apple's A10 Snapdragon 7870 HD 2-liter turbo Galaxy 29 GHz processor. Our advanced operating system features some of the best apps out there. We have classics such as Instant Gram, Samosa Crush Saga, World of Duty, Call of Warcraft, and Temple Run, in which you get to run from an actual mob of Hindu priests.
And to wrap it all up, we have 24/7 customer service lines in case you idiots need help with your new iPhonies.
Hello, welcome to iPhoney Tech Support. This is Ben Katesh.
Are you sure you're not one of those outsourced white people?